Hello and welcome. This is Connie Reagan Green, and this is Online Marketing Tips. This is my newest podcast series, and I host it twice a month as a live show. So you can get your study guide if you're on the live call or listening to the teleseminar recording. It's at the big button. It says your study guide. If not, go over to connieloves.me/study guides. That's plural, and it's all lowercase, and you'll see that I have each one listed. I keep them just to one page, so we have some information to work with during the call. I base it on your feedback between the calls. So again, I am thrilled to have you with us, whether you are live today, February 28th, 2013, listening to the teleseminar replay, or listening to this as a podcast in my Online Marketing Tips podcast series through iTunes sometime in the future. So I want to focus today on building an online business by connecting with others. And I've started out the study guide by saying you can better achieve your goals as an online entrepreneur by connecting with others from the very beginning. You can do this through joint ventures, paid online forums, and by attending live events. So I did not do this very well my first couple of years online. I didn't attend live events. I was only a part of free forums, and the free forums really have always been worthless because no one has any skin in the game. They just sign up and sometimes forget that they've signed up, and you know, people come and go, and it just isn't the same thing as a paid forum. That's what you want to be a part of. You need to have a community that's available to you 24/7, 365. I'm a part of three of these forums. One of them is through NAMS, and I've put the link there, mynamsmembers.com. Another one is through Dennis Becker's, earn 1K a day, and you can email me if you want more information on that one. The third one that I've been a part of now for 5 years, April will make 5 years, is Armin Morin's AM2 group, which I am a platinum member. There are only about 30 of us from around the world that have reached that level. We all started out as gold members before being invited to join platinum. So this is a way that you can really connect with people so that you can go on and do wonderful joint ventures. Now, the next paragraph, I talk about going from student to affiliate to partner for the most powerful joint ventures. And I learned this from Alex Mendozian. He used to teach this in his programs. And I started learning from him in 2007. I still know him. He's a wonderful man and brilliant entrepreneur. And he wanted people to start out as a student because he felt that if they purchased his products and courses and trainings and programs, that they would have a better idea of who he was. So I started doing the very same thing. So people come to me as a student. They join something that I have, or they purchase something that I put out there. Then they become an affiliate. That way what they're saying is, I not only learned much from you, I believe in it strongly, and I want to pass that on to other people who will also benefit from it. Being an affiliate for someone really does make a powerful statement. So you want to do that. And finally, then you become a partner. So I look for people that start with me as students, then become affiliates, then I do joint ventures with them as partnerships in years to come. I've done this with probably 15 people in the past 4 years, and it's a wonderful way to really build a business. All right, I'm going to open the line. All right, I've opened the line, and let's see. Okay, good. It's not noisy. And first, I'm going to start reading some questions that people typed in. Remember, you can always come here and type in your questions before the call begins. All right, Iris is asking me to clarify my strategy for article syndication. All right, now I do hear a little bit of noise. Let's see who that is. All right, I think that's in Michigan. I'm hearing the noise. So if I close out your line, just hit *7, and you can bring yourself back in if your line was noisy and I closed you out. All right, so Iris wants me to talk about my strategy for article syndication. Can you use the same exact article, once it's published at Easing Articles, to syndicate using other distribution channels, or should it be rewritten? And the answer is that an article that you write that's exclusively for a directory can then be submitted exactly as is to the other directories. That's something that we continue to do even after the Google updates. So I no longer put something on my blog or on other sites that I own and control that I'm using for an article directory, but when I write something that's going to be for an article directory, I then distribute it to many directories. Now, I use Ezine Articles. It's a free one, but I also use something called submitmorearticles.com. That's a paid distribution service. I pay $47 a month for that service, and they distribute it far and wide. So I've been very, very happy with that. All right, Iris also says, can you use your own blog post or articles to put together Kindle books, or must they be completely different from the Kindle book on a given topic? You can use your own blog posts and articles for your books on Kindle, but make sure that they're on blogs that have your name loud and clear right on the front page, and in the article directories, make sure that it was published under your name. Because I've had in the Kindle Select program, I've had Amazon write to me for three of the books, I believe, and they said, we see that some of this is already on the internet. Can you tell me what sites it's on? And I need to be able to list those sites. So I'm able to do that because I own and control the sites, or if it's Ezine Articles, I'm there under Connie Reagan Green. All right, anyone on the line with a question? And if I'm not hearing you, hit *7. That will open your line. All right. Nikki is asking about content curation. She's been hearing a lot about it recently. What is it? Content curation is really, I don't want to complicate this too much. It's really taking topics and content that's been written on another site and pulling it into your site. There are a variety of ways to do this, like with RSS feeds, this type of thing. But just know that any kind of sites like Huffington Post or any of the big news sites, they're curating content. So reporters, other people around the world will write something, and then it appears in a central location so that other people around the world can read it and get more information. So content curation is something that's been around since the beginning of the internet, but for entrepreneurs and marketers to do it, it's really just been the last few years that we've gotten involved with that. So you're curating other people's content on your sites, but giving them full credit for them doing the writing. All right, and Gwen is trying to purchase something. The link isn't working. Gwen, it's because when I'm looking at the link, it needs to be connieloves.me/, and then the link that you're going for. So do it just to get it exactly from my email. That's how it works.
Okay, thanks, Connie. Just add the loves me. It's in your email like that, so you might want to take a look at that.
Is it incorrect in the
yeah.
Oh, you know, you're right. You're right. It's it's incorrect. Okay, well, thank you for letting me know. Yes, it should be /me and then or .me and then /, and then the extension. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Connie.
You're welcome. All right, Al has a couple of questions. He says, thanks so much for giving your time to help us all. You're welcome. I love this. I'm very excited about what's going on the internet now, because the last couple of years, and Al, I will get back to your question, I promise. The last couple of years were really frustrating for many of us who have been online for a number of years. This is my 7th year now. So, you know, it was frustrating because so many people seem to just drop out of the sky and create products and courses and all of a sudden be involved with online marketing. And, you know, many of them, we really weren't sure where they came from. And some of them were doing things that were very good, very, very beneficial, and others were putting together products that were incorrect, had a lot of misinformation, and, you know, it was just very frustrating. We didn't know what to think of all this, and the way that I saw it was when the economy was, you know, in such a downturn, our recession was so deep this time, it's the deepest recession that most of us have ever been through, because most of us were not alive during the Great Depression, people that are online doing business. And when this happened, you had a lot of people that came online trying to make some money. And I don't blame people for doing that, but you really don't want to give out incorrect information. That's not good. Or another thing I saw was people kind of leading people to believe that they'd been online longer than they had and trying to sign people up for coaching. And that can be very expensive if somebody tricks you into that. So that isn't good. But what's happened just in the last few months is that now the economy is definitely in recovery, and I don't want to get into a political conversation, but my feeling is that we are in recovery because homes are being built right down the street from me. A new development is finally back at work, and they've actually started selling homes by Christmas. They had sold some, and they're continuing to do so. And so many of the people that were trying to make some money on the internet, they've found work. They've found something else that they're really better suited to. So we don't have all those people just kind of parachuting into cyberspace or from cyberspace into our inboxes. And a lot of times I don't even know how they got our email addresses, and you just don't see that. So now, once again, the playing field is really open for people that are trying to get started. And be honest, present yourself as who you are. And I had a long discussion with people on Facebook about this yesterday, that we need to tell people. In the beginning, I said, I'm brand new. I found out about online marketing at the end of 2005. I started doing it in 2006. I left, you know, teaching in real estate in June of 2006, and I had made a few $100s and continued to increase my income. So I didn't take any students until the end of 2007, beginning of 2008, and even then I was only teaching them affiliate marketing, something I had already, you know, got to six figures a year on by the end of 2007. So, you know, we just have to present ourselves the way we are. All right, so anyway, back to Al, and you're welcome. I love spending time with everyone to get people going, because my people really get results, and that's what I like to see. He says, I really enjoyed your book, Huge Profits with Affiliate Marketing. Thank you. A few questions for you. You want to schedule a call with me, so Al, email me. And he has finished his book, and he wants to know which sites would I recommend to put it on to get sales moving. Well, you know, you have to do the marketing. Finishing the book and having it available on Amazon is really distribution. That isn't marketing. So my first question to you would be, you know, are you, you know, Gwen, your line is very noisy. I'm going to go ahead and close out your line. And if you have a question for me, then just go ahead and ask that question again. All right, just hit *7 then if you have a question. So, Al, you need to be marketing. Are you blogging on your topic of health and fitness? Because it's up to us to sell books. So I have books, you know, I'm working on my 9th book right now. My 9th book is going to be called How to Live the Internet Lifestyle. I already have a title. I have the domain. I'm ready to go. So that book will be available probably in about 3 months, because I'm only about a third of the way through with it right now. So the other books that I have there, the other 8 books, they don't really sell themselves very often. A little bit. There are some strategies for doing that. But mainly people purchase my books because they've heard about me in one way or another. The first place to do this is on a blog, on your blog, where you're blogging regularly, which is twice a week, on your topic. This is the most important thing. You really have to get your name out there. Let people know who you are, what you're doing, and how your information can help them and really change their life. So that's really the key to all of this. So let me see if you have more in your question about this. Let me see. What are the top 3 ways to market a book? Number 1 is the blog. Number 2, social media. Number 3, attending live events. That was easy, and I didn't even read your question completely before we started the call. Those are the things that come to mind for me, and I'm going to stick with those. We must blog twice a week on our topic. In the sidebar, just like in my sidebar, for both HugeProfitsTinyList.com and ConnieReaganGreen.com, you'll see a book of mine in the sidebar and in the post at the top on one of them. So you want to do that. Let people know you're an author and what you've written. All right. The second one, you've really got to be on social media. Let people know about your topic. If you're talking about health and fitness and you know, changing our body, give us some tips, give us some information, ask us questions, involve us, engage us. The third, go to events. Go to a variety of events. Go to health and fitness events. Go to marketing events. Do things locally and do things as far away as you're able to travel. You know, I'm going to an event in Phoenix in a few weeks, and it's a marketing event. I just get on the plane and go. Even if I'm not asked to speak, I like to go. So these are excellent ways. All right, anyone on the call have a question? If your line is closed, just star 7 and you will be back in. All right, let me go back in here. And Ebony says, she wants to talk about choosing a niche, and she said, or a niche. And she said that I mentioned that I started with ebooks, yeah, because I wanted to do internet marketing, but I didn't have the experience. I didn't have the background to do that. I couldn't just jump into something that wasn't me. It would not have worked. I would have failed miserably, and you wouldn't be on the call with me today. So instead, I did something that I knew something about. I had worked as a teacher. I had helped students of all ages from age 5 through age 18, and even some adult school. So I had worked with some adults of various ages to help them with their writing, to really get their ideas across. And I had helped them with narratives and persuasive writing and just all kinds of writing. So I had that experience to do that. And then I was learning marketing every day. That was my focus. I was learning marketing. So by 2007, I thought, this is really perfect. I can help people write and market their ebooks. So that's what I did until I jumped full on into internet marketing at some point in 2008, probably the summer or the fall of 2008 was when I really made a jump. All right. Leslie is asking me, do I know people that are using Dragon dictation software to make the writing process easier? I don't know that I know anybody right now that's doing that. You can speak your writing. You know, I don't know. I'd have to do some research to see what other things are available, because over the years there have been services available where you can actually record what you're saying, and it will come out typewritten. But right now, I can't list any of those, because what happened is they kind of either go out of business or someone else purchases them and changes the name. So I can't really give you a good answer for that. All right. If you're on the call and you have a question, jump right in. All right. Lisa is here, and she said, what would I recommend as the best opt-in lure? A free report with an enticing title? Yes, a free report with an enticing title is still very important to people, and I would say the majority of people really do want a PDF. The next best thing is a PDF and an audio, but for a free giveaway, you don't want to do things that are too elaborate. Sometimes a video works, depending on your market. She has one that's called Free Weight Loss Tips. But does it need to be more appealing? Yes, because in a million years, most of us are not going to download free weight loss tips. So instead, we want to download a free special report on why your information will be the last information we ever need, why it will be different this time. It will be different this time when we listen to you. And with you, Lisa, because I've met you in person, I know you, I would say a video could work very, very well. And give people 3 tips in the video. So let them see you and give them 3 tips for getting started on a diet, weight loss, fitness regime. I wouldn't even call it a plan. I would have a different name, like regime or system or something like that. And, you know, what are 3 things that we can do? Like at the grocery store, stay out of the inner aisles. When you shop, go around the edge of the store. That's where the fresh food is. At this point, I have very little food in either Santa Clarita or Santa Barbara that is not perishable. I have food that really won't last more than 3 or 4 days. So that's my goal, is to have more food that will go bad because it's nice, fresh, healthy food. If it's in a box or in a can, God forbid, you know, or even frozen. I guess frozen lasts for a while, but I don't like to keep my frozen stuff too long. But if it's in a can or a box, you know, that stuff seems to last for a couple of years, I guess, is the expiration date. And that's no good, all those packaged foods. So give us tips like that, really common sense things that we should know, but we don't know. A lot of people go into the grocery store, they go down those center aisles, and they're throwing cans and, you know, boxes and packages into their cart and never seem to make it to the produce section or anything else. So that's what I would do. Something that's so special and so important that we can't disregard it. We have to get that information. All right. What next? Al has another question. He says that I mentioned PLR, private label rights, quite a bit. I do. I really love private label rights, and I even have either year-long memberships or lifetime memberships to several sites. So that's how much I really love it and use it. And you said you were looking for it. You couldn't find exactly the topics you were looking for, and that can be a drawback because they won't be, you know, publishing all topics because it's a business for the people that have the PLR, the private label rights companies. And they have to publish things that people will buy because they usually like to sell about 100 copies. So you said, what's the best source of PLR on the topics of writing your first book, how to select an editor, how to choose a topic to write on, marketing? Yeah, you're not going to really find too much PLR on that because that's so specific to being, you know, an online author. So email me, though, Al, and I'll try to come up with some more suggestions for you. All right, has everybody downloaded their study guide? The study guide is available. It says your study guide, or if you are on the podcast listening to this months and months or years from today, which I hope you are, go to connieloves.me/study guides. And study guides should all be lowercase, and it's plural, study guides. All right, Petra says, and Petra's over in London, and she says, you said in an earlier seminar that you suggest publishing the articles in, oh, you know what? Yeah, she's asking me about another free article directory. That one that I used to mention, they've changed their name. They're doing some changes, and I haven't spent time to investigate what they've done when they made a big change because it was so sudden. So I believe they knew they were going to do it for a period of time, but I haven't done the research, so I can't recommend that one. For now, go to Easing Articles for the free directory and submitmorearticles.com for the paid one. That's my best advice to you. All right, let me scroll down and see who I miss. Here we go. Faye has a question. All right, Faye, let's see. You're asking me about category slugs. All right, so a slug, the way you have described it here, is the way that WordPress describes a category. And many people, I guess I do it as well. When we publish something, we publish it in a specific category. So I have two different podcast series, and they're on two different blogs, but both of them are in the category of podcast, plural. And that's the category slug. So it has to do with WordPress, and it has to do with keywords, with keeping everything clear, because it wouldn't make sense if I would put my posts that have to do with my podcast into a category that had to do with affiliate marketing or article marketing or becoming an author online or anything like that, or blogging, or, you know, anything else. It only makes sense in the correct keyword category, and that is referred to as the category slug. All right. Okay, Tom has a question about social bookmarking sites. And Tom, yes, I had recommended the theme. It's not software, it's a theme that it's brand new, it's just come out, and I have it at connieloves.me/social press. And if you go and take a look at that, I believe I even have that in the study guide for today. I do, /social press. This is good for small niche mini sites. and it will help you curate your content, as we had talked about a little bit earlier. And what's nice is it's pretty inexpensive. It's just, I don't know, $35 or so. That's pretty inexpensive for a premium theme, and it will be easy for you to get that set up. Okay, also, I'm back on the study guide now, and I'm saying, are you blogging twice a week? This is the way that you share your thoughts, ideas, knowledge, and expertise with others who are interested in your topic. And, you know, blogging is wonderful for so many reasons. It turns you into a writer. And the majority of us who come online don't realize that we have to write until we get here. So I was one of those people. I arrived and I thought, well, I always wanted to be a writer, but I wasn't writing. I had never really written much of anything. I had had a couple of poems published, and I was proud of that. And I had one short story that they put into some collection, but it was only because they needed more short stories. It wasn't because mine was a good one. And I knew that at the time, and it didn't hurt my feelings. I was just so happy anybody, you know, would take a second look at my short story. But we're talking a couple poems and a short story and very little else over about 25 years. So, you know, now I do the equivalent amount of writing as the short story and the two poems in about 2 days. So blogging really turned me into a writer, that in article marketing, because I wrote every day for 100 days. And by about, you know, day 20 or 30, I was used to writing. So now I really write every morning. And another thing about doing the writing is we have to read to learn more about the topic. The reading gives us ideas for writing. People talk to us about the topic, and so we're speaking about it. So this flow, this diagram of reading, writing, speaking about your topic, this is what helps you to become an authority in your niche. And, you know, there is no secret. This is how we do it. So when I was teaching people how to write and market ebooks, I signed up for everybody's program, so I paid money to be in people's programs to see what they were teaching, and I read everything that was online about ebooks. I read people's blogs, I read their free giveaways, I read any kind of ebooks, short reports, anything that was out there, and it was so much fun. It was so exciting to learn, and I continue to do that. When I want to talk about something, I read about it, write about it, and then talk about it. And it doesn't take long before you're an authority in that area. All right, the quote for today is from Oprah Winfrey, someone who I really greatly admire. I don't talk about her much at all, but I really greatly admire her. She lives about 4 miles from where I am in Santa Barbara. Of course, it's a different world 4 miles away, but it's just, you know, wonderful to know that she's part of that community and has added, you know, a lot of benefits by her being there. But this is the quote. Energy is the essence of life. Every day you decide how you're going to use it by knowing what you want and what it takes to reach that goal and by maintaining focus. So you want to know what it is that you want, figure out what it's going to take to reach that goal, and then maintaining focus on that goal. That's the energy that we use, the essence of our life. I think that's very special and so, so true. All right, let me take a look and see down below if I've missed anybody's questions or if I didn't answer fully. Let me see. Tom, I don't know if I answered you completely. You wanted to know more about the theme for the social bookmarking. I think their sales page really describes it in greater detail. They even have a video better than I could ever do justice to here. So just go to connieloves.me/socialpress. And you said, could I expand a bit on the monetization aspect, both directly on the sites themselves, but also building a list? Having content on your site, on your topic, will make it more attractive to people who are interested in that topic. So if you have a good free giveaway, and if you're asking them to sign up, you'll be able to build a list from it. It's really an excellent, excellent way. All right, and let me go up to the top now. Okay, Lisa says, speaking of blogging, I have a wellness site, which I have not blogged on in a while, and a new product with its own website. Since I want to promote my new product and want the name out there, Shall I start a new blog with all the new with the new domain name? I would direct my your name to whichever blog I'm on. Don't you have two blogs? I do, but it, you know, it's kind of a long story why I have two. My first one started out as ebookwritingandmarketingsecrets.com. And then when I wasn't going to be doing ebook writing and marketing as my primary focus any longer, I had my tech person just move those files over to ConnieReaganGreen.com. And now that's where that lives. So, yes, you can move a site from one domain to another. And that might be something you want to do, Lisa, from what it sounds like you're saying and from what I'm saying now. My other blog is Huge Profits Tiny List. That started in 2009, when Alex Mandozian said, you're my Huge Profits Tiny List person. I want you to start a blog on this topic and blog once a week to share your ideas, how you're able to do so well with a tiny list. Can you do that? And I said, I could blog twice a week. And he said, you could do that? Because Alex doesn't write. It's amazing that mentors of mine, such as Alex Mandozian and Armin Morin, they really do not like to write. So things are transcribed for them. That's how they handle that. But I told Alex that, yes, I would do it twice a week, and I started doing it. And a year later, my first book came out based on that blog and that those posts and everything, my Huge Profits with a Tiny List, 50 Ways to Use Relationship Marketing to Increase Your Bottom Line. So that's why I have those two, and I continue to keep both of those updated regularly. So with you, though, I don't want to see you start a third blog because you said you already – oh, no, I guess this would be a second blog. Okay, sorry. Okay, so you have your blog that you're doing right now, and then you want to do the next one. Do the two blogs if you're going to make sure that you post once a week on each of them. So maybe Tuesday on one and Friday on the other, something like that. You want to make sure that you've got enough fresh content on both of them. And also send people back and forth to each one so people get used to that. If you're able to keep that up, then that will work. Okay, and Al says, thanks for answering my first questions. I've read recently that Google is treating favorably rich content. Yeah, but that's really always been the case. Google rewards you for good, powerful, rich content, and it punishes you when you have poorly written content. So that's why we want to keep writing so our writing gets better. You know, my first articles and blog posts were really very, very sad. The writing was horrible, and I still have most of that stuff out there. It's very rare that I delete anything. How to write good articles? Just keep writing and be as knowledgeable as possible on your subject. Know who the players are in the health and fitness world. Connect, you know, with them. Read their books. You know, go to Amazon, buy those books. It's inexpensive there, or go to your local bookstore. Leave reviews on Amazon. The more you read, write, and talk about your topic, the better it will be. All right, Petra says, can you make any suggestions what a good first product would be that we could sell? She means homemade, not an affiliate product. Well, it depends on your niche, but you really want to do something that's simple. So many times it's audio training. You can include interviews with other people. You know, it's got to be something. What you want to do, because most of us are doing a niche that is really indicative of what we are interested in. So ask yourself, what would you buy and at what price point on your topic? And take a look at affiliate products, so other people's products, and see, you know, is it a good value or does it seem expensive? Does it seem like, wow, you're getting a lot for that price? So you really want to explore what's out there. And the bottom line is, how will you serve someone? How will you help them with your product? What is it that you want them to be able to achieve? Where do you want them to be? They're at point A right now. Where is point B? After they consume your product, so if they read it or listen to it, or watch it if it's videos, you know, where will they be? So if I'm helping someone to write an ebook, in the beginning, they probably just have some ideas about something they'd like to write about. That'd be point A. And point B would be a completed ebook it's ready to sell. So what kind of transformational change do you want that person to make? You know, mentally and physically. So they're thinking about things and changing their thinking, and physically they're doing something, they're taking action. What do you want them to, or how do you want them to have thought differently and taken action differently from when they first come to you to when they've completely consumed your product? So think about it in that way, and you'll be able to come up with some better ideas. All right, and we're just about at the end of our time here, and Feli is saying, when our writing gets better, should we delete our earlier not-so-good articles? No, I don't recommend that at all. The only time I delete something is if it's just information that's now outdated, it's changed so much that instead of me rewriting the whole article or blog post, it's easier just to delete it. But, you know, I've written, I've lost track of the number now of articles. I think it's 1,793. If we go to articlesbyconnie.com, let's see. Finally, I've written so many, I'm losing track. All right, let's see what that magic number is. 1,763. So out of all these articles, I've probably only deleted about 10. And the blog post on ConnieReaganGreen.com, there are almost 1,000 blog posts there. On HugeProfitsTinyList.com, there are more than 400 posts. I've probably, again, on the total of those two blogs, I've probably deleted about 10. So mainly I don't delete something. I just leave it because it's important, you know, for the search engines to still have your content there. And also, when you're talking to other people, you want to show them that you're authentic, that you're real, that you're being honest with them about when you started. So I can tell people, yeah, go back and look at what I was talking about in 2006, and you'll see I was very new then. You can see the change over time. It's like the books I write. I try to have a new book every year. I've done that now. This will be the fourth year. And my writing changes because my thinking changes, and I change as a human being. And I think it's important to document that with our writing. What I have up here on my computer to listen to later today is one of my teleseminars from 2010. I can't wait to listen to that and to see what I was talking about and what it sounded like back then. All right, anybody on the line have a question? Let's open all the lines and see if they're noisy. All right, anybody have a question for me on the line? Because we have more and more people now on the line here at the end. All right, if you're not subscribed to my podcast, please go to both of my blogs. You'll see each one described there. You'll get to have all of the downloads completely free of cost. With this new one that I just started at the first of the year in January 2013, OnlineMarketingTipsPodcast.com. You also get a study guide every week just to give us a little outline of what to talk about. I continue to talk about Jim Edwards' excellent ebook training. I no longer would ever recommend anything of mine because Jim Edwards has redone his completely at ebookwritingprofits.com. What I will be sending out to my list in the next couple of days is a compilation. It's a short report I've put together based on the guest blog post that he's done for me over the past 6 months, and I did the same for him. One of mine just came out on his blog yesterday. Jim is a wonderful friend, and this is someone that I did the same thing that I'm telling you to do. I started out as a student, became an affiliate, and then became a joint venture partner with him. I speak on his cruise. I've done so twice, and will do so again next year. And he's just a brilliant, brilliant person who's also very, very caring about other people. All right, if we don't have any last questions, we're going to call it a day. I love spending this time with you, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to spend time with me. So email me anytime or connect with me Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. Probably are the very best places to connect with me. Bye-bye, everyone. Yeah, do you have a question?
Are you still there?
Yes.
Well, this is Fred.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hi. I just dialed in late. I have a question. I have a client or a friend who is used to be an actress in Hollywood.
Okay.
and she's connected, was connected to various projects, films, musical happenings that she put together with a whole bunch of different famous people. And she's long had in mind an idea of writing a book about all this, and I suggested she do it in short Kindle packages, and we make a whole series of them, and I'll produce them and market them, or publish them and market them. And she's game to go, and I just thought I'd ask you if you had any suggestions on a strategy on how to approach it and make it really work.
I'll just give you some ideas. Even if someone, you know, is currently a famous Hollywood actress, it doesn't mean they'll sell very many books.
Right.
You know, usually they're hiring a publicist, and it's quite expensive, and it's usually like a 2-year process to go through the publication and everything that needs to be done for that. So if you're going to do it, you know, on a grassroots level, like the way most of us are doing things, then
right.
She really has to start blogging. She has to build a platform. She has to build a list of people who will buy the book. So
okay.
That would be the same thing, you know, for us.
What I was thinking about was doing a whole series of shorter Kindle books, like one on Brando, one on Paul Newman, and whatever, you know, all these other people that she's been connected with and has stories about that would be of interest.
Yeah, you could do that as like a 99-cent series or something like that. But I think the most important thing to share with her is that she's not going to make a whole lot of money from the books. You know, none of us make a whole lot of money. I do pretty well because I market my books every day. But
Right. Most
people are not, you know, making that much money with the books. So she really needs to build a platform, which is a blog where she builds a list of people that will be interested in hearing more about it.
Okay. And what's the best way to do that? Just start a blog and My Life with Famous People and just start telling short stories?
Yes, and start giving, you know, some idea of a little bit of the information.
Okay. And then is there anything else I can do to help spread it out? I was thinking about getting with multiple blog platforms and talking it up.
Yeah, you got to start with one. Start with one blog and start with writing one book.
Okay.
Because sometimes when people see that, you know, making like 100 a month is probably what something like that would earn, sometimes they lose interest. Sometimes for 100 a month it isn't worth it. Other times they say, well, it doesn't really matter. I don't care how much money I make. I love getting the stories out there. So then they don't care. But if they're going to pay you to help them based on their earnings, you know, that's not going to work out too well for someone. But the most important thing is she's got to start blogging and start writing the book simultaneously.
Well, she's got several chapters already written, although I haven't seen them yet. But
all right. Well, Fred, why don't you email me about it?
I will. Thank you
Alrighty.
Very much. Get
You're
it,
welcome.
Connie.
All right. So we'll kind of end with that. You know, it's wonderful to be an author. And, you know, I'm able to make 5 figures a month with my writing, a low 5 figures with the writing, because I market those books pretty much 7 days a week. So I've got information out there. But certainly my books would not pay my mortgage payments and my other living expenses. Instead, my books are kind of a stepping stone and a lead generating system to other things that I do in my business. And I think everybody really needs to think about that, where you can have that credibility and that authority as an author, but it won't necessarily bring lots of dollars. And that's the way for more than 99% of the authors in the world. Very, very few people, and most of those people can actually be named, actually make 6 figures and above, you know, with their books year in and year out. So we have to think of that as a marketing tool and not the end game. So you can do well with writing, but you must have a back end in place. You must be building a list with it and must have other ways to engage people other than them purchasing your book. Even if your book is $15 or $20, you still, you know, just won't make that much money. So I encourage you to get started with your online business and stay tuned for more episodes of Online Marketing Tips and join the podcast. This is Connie Reagan Green. Thanks so much for spending time with me today.